The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Welcome back from COVID land, wherever you've been. We've been dodging COVID. It's worse than playing dodgeball. You never know when you're going to get caught next. But hopefully we'll have a full crew who are not... No, well, I know Nick and Kathy are having quarantine. I don't know if they have it. They're in quarantine, self-inflicted quarantine. So anyhow, I'm here. That's good news. I couldn't make it last week because of COVID, but I'm here today. So praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
We're going to get started in just a minute. We're going to have a delayed celebration for the ending of the fast since we had it last week. So we'll get some testimonies today and do some other things. So that's on the agenda. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning. Our hearts and minds are set upon you. We trust you above all things. Lord, let your will be accomplished in this building this day. Father, I pray for all those who will be watching over Facebook and YouTube and on our website, that they will experience you in a very real and personal way, as if they were gathered together in this building with us this morning. Cause your will to be worked out in each of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. And the children said, amen. 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 All right. Worship leader.
sure as gold is precious and the Lord is sweet. So you love this city and you love these streets. Every child that plays by the roof at dawn. Every baby laying on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer drinking in the bedroom jar. Every driver driving to the rush hour. Feeling in my spirit, feeling in my heart. You're gonna say goodbye, but when you're all back home, I can hear that thunder in the distance, like a train on the edge of the town. I can feel the burning in the spirit, laying on the
Jesus, your name is power.
nation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Turning lives around.
Thy name, Lord. Blessed be thy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The Waymaker. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looks like I'm going to have to switch over to the hand mic. The other one's not working for some reason. So, great songs. Man, like the last song. It's a good song, yeah. Good songs. You may be seated. Hallelujah. But we've finished the fast by over a week, so we all had a chance to survive some. But I wanted to do two things today about the fast. One is just see if anybody had any testimony of their experience with the fast, good, bad, or indifferent. You're glad it's over. You wish we were still doing it. So, anybody? Brother Charles? Yeah, why don't you come down this way so I can give you this mic so the folks who are... So the people that... The people in the world can hear you, okay?
Good morning, Saint.
Good morning.
Rose, you blessed my heart this morning with that song. See the Waymaker.
Amen.
See the Waymaker.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm praying that God will get me home for my daughter and son. I know I ain't gonna do, but I'm still asking him. But he said he has to deal on a solid foundation, right? He ain't getting the house yet, but he went. But he did on the land. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
He did on the land. Hallelujah!
Yes, Lord.
Oh, that's the foundation right there. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Christ. You just get excited about something. It'll be a whole new world. Amen. Anyone else? Well, that's been a pretty bland fast.
Unfortunately, we got sick, so we didn't get to.
Yeah, I know. I guess that's my testimony is that the fast got kind of interrupted. Yeah, let me get back over here where I belong so you get this other mic to pick me up. I guess we were in the fast about a week and a half when Pat and I got COVID, so that kind of interrupted us. But it really started off with a bang. I mean, I thought this is going to be the best fast ever. In God's way of looking at things, it is a good way, but in my way of looking at it, it didn't work out so well. But we went through it and survived it, and fasting is always good, even when you don't think you see any results from it. You know, it has that residual effect. So, anybody else?
I got a little testimony, I guess.
Yeah, let me get the microphone a little closer to you.
Huh?
You should have both can do that.
close. Okay. The other day, I kind of got mad at Dan, and I left the house and went to the store, and was praying, you know, like I gotta forgive because I don't want to hinder, you know, any move of God. So, I prayed as I went to the little store, the Dollar General, and it was a little guy, I guess about 38. He's looking
green
all over his card on the floor.
He's asking everybody,
did you see my card?
Everything.
I got money on it. I can't find it.
Maybe, can we turn it off and turn it back on?
Did they change
the
balance?
So I said, dude. No, man. I went, dude.
I don't know. I said, everything looks fine.
Man,
back
I said,
there.
You need to.
Thank you.
I said, the Lord says that he'll show you things you do not know. I said, you need to pray and believe that God will help you find that car.
That's good.
Yeah, and then Camille, he turns around, he comes up to me, and he's got this big grin on his face, and he goes, I'm a believer, too.
Amen.
And I never heard that scripture. And he started saying, what church you go to? And he's going to come. And anyway, so I got to minister to him a little bit, you know. So that's cool.
That's it.
That's awesome.
Okay.
He's coming through now.
Miss Pam, you want to come up here? I'll let you do this.
You know, I just love it that even when things don't go well for us, that God still can intervene and his promises are true and he will do what he has promised to do. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah 58 is the passage of scripture about the fast that God has called. And I can tell you the song that that our worship group sang this morning, where it said God is working, even if we can't see it, even if we can't feel it, we can be assured that God is moving heaven and earth to bring about the thing that pleases him and that blesses us and strengthens us. But in this Isaiah 58, let's see, verse 9, it starts off. It says, and when you call, the Lord will answer, and when you cry for help, he will say, here I am.
Yes.
You know, he's asked us, calls us to pray and to fast and to give. It says, and then when you call, when you pray, he will answer. And you will cry for help and will say, I'm here. I have not forsaken you. I am with you always, no matter what your eyes see or your ears hear or what comes or what goes up or comes down, that he says, I am here. I am with you. And then it says, if you will do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing of the finger and malice talk, and if you will spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, which I feel like we do that. That's our heart. These things are in our heart, you know, to walk in the steps of Jesus. And it says, when we do these things, it says, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday sun. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And this passage ends in 14 it says, and then you will find joy in the Lord, and he will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. And he will cause us to live in the high places, to live in the kingdom, in the reality of the kingdom. You know, that we walk on this earth, but there's a parallel kingdom that we go in and out of.
Amen.
in and out of, and we live above the heights of the earth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Good word.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Is this, am I working? Is it, I'm getting sound now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Yes, Ms. Sherry. Well, you need to come up here to the front. Otherwise, the people watching on the videos won't get to it.
Okay. In regards to the fast,
In
regards to the fast, in regards to the fast, I didn't do very well. I just had to have protein because I'm weak. But during this time, I like to watch TBN and listen to some of the people talk on TBN and some of the readings that I do. I was led to tell the Lord, well, first off, I say, how can you use me? What can I do? I don't have the kids to teach anymore. I don't know that I have the energy anymore to do that anyways. But what came to me was, you can still tell people about the Lord. So I've been doing it on the internet, on Facebook. I talk to people I don't even know. I respond to things that they say. I encourage them. Even with this political thing going on, I still encourage those who are from the left, whether they like it or not. They can read it or they don't have to read it. But I continue to do that. Last night I tried to get on Facebook and I can't get on Facebook. I think they done cut me off. But I'm going to continue trying. My brother was cut off for a month. My daughter Karen's cut off right now. So it's happening. But I'm going to continue trying anytime I get a chance. There's a website that comes onto my Facebook page, and it's from has something to do with Corrie Ten Boom and her teachings and her books and whatever. And most of it is people asking you to pray for their sick, or their, you know, mostly sick people. And they go on and tell you all about it, so you, at least you have a way to respond. You know what you know why you're responding the way you are. And I do too. I tell them, if you are not a believer, try Jesus Christ. Call out his name, and it'll be different, because it'll take your mind off it for just that split second, and it'll lead you in a different direction. So when I get back on Facebook, I'm going to just continue doing that.
Amen. Michelle? You need to get in front of the podium. Thank you. I don't know why everybody's afraid of this.
This is your position.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll let you share.
This fast was unusual for me. It wasn't difficult. I didn't have any major cravings or want to break the fast. It was just odd. Part of it was the COVID, and working in COVID unit with COVID patients and families that are being affected by it. Tempers are high, patience is short. And not only the patients and family, but the workers, they're tired. They don't have the love and care that we used to have. Tempers are real short, and we don't have the patience with each other. And probably for about 6 months or so, I've been dealing with some depression because I can't get what I need. Excuse me. I don't have the hugs, the care that I used to get from my church people, from my family, and my co-workers. Because we can't give the support that we could. And it's been hard. But I've been reading in 1 Corinthians and doing some daily communion. And one of the processes of the chapter says that the night that Christ was betrayed, he had communion and remembered us to give us instruction. That was one thing that showed that I am loved and cared for. The other happened last night. Last night was my birthday. I wasn't going to do anything special for my birthday. And Erin, a beloved sister, said, "We're going to do something." And she arranged it. And I had a wonderful party. And I knew people loved me and cared for me. Even though I couldn't get the physical, I got the spiritual and emotional support. So even though the fast was odd, it was fulfilling.
Amen. 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 We love you, Miss Sherry. We love you. Difficult times in our world. A lot of people hurting. And first responders and the medical facilities around the country and around the world are under enormous pressure. And it doesn't seem to be leaving, giving up anytime soon. So, anybody else? Well, you just have to wait till next January to start the fast all over again. Okay, let me give you just some... thank COVID for this. As you know, I've been actively involved in the community, really much more so the last 8 years than I had previously, under a direct mandate from God to get busy in Slidell. And so many things have happened. It's more than you can say in any one sitting. And whenever I sit down and talk to people, especially people outside of my Christian circles, and tell them about what's happening in our community, they say, "Well, I didn't know about that. I didn't hear about that." So, and when COVID kicked in and my schedule has been altered immensely, I had some, believe it or not, some free time. So I decided to write about it. And I wrote a book called Slidell, Our Kind of Town. It's a story of us. And it covers what's taken place in Slidell over the past 8 years. It begins with God directing me from right here in this building, right on during a prayer meeting in November of 2012. And I decided that it wasn't just my voice that the community needed to hear, but the voices of others who were involved in it. So it's kind of half mine and half everyone else's. And I have people who have written in here from, see if I can open this up a little. Here it is. I don't read anything that's not on Kindle anymore because it's harder for me to do this with one hand. There we go. I have people such as my wife, Pat, who went to had some comments to make. Councilman Bill Borchett, former Mayor Freddie Drennan, Pastor Donald Bryan from First Pentecostal Church, Bob Riles, who you all know, from Pastor Gary Wood, Pastor Ray Larry, Pastor Norman Favre, Chaplains Grace and David Ziegler, Dr. Charles Preston, our coroner, Caroline Lewis, who heads up the National Day of Prayer, Mayor Greg Cromer, our current mayor, and Kevin Cherry, the owner and editor of the Slidell Independent newspaper. Those are the folks, there are more folks than that who were involved in what took place, but those are the ones who were brave enough to write. So I put it all together, and it's available. If you're watching and you want to know where you can get it, if you're in Slidell, go to the Christian bookstore over by Copeland's. You can buy it there. Or if you want to go to Amazon, and if you're local, I'd prefer you go to a local business. But if you're, I know many people are watching from out of town, go to Amazon and just look up my name, Morris Sinangelo, or the book Slidell, Our Kind of Town, and you'll find it. You can get it off Amazon, all right? And if you're a Prime member, you get free shipping. So that's a good thing. And if you're here in the building, you can buy it, since I have copies of it here in the building. But anyone who wants to contact me, you can do so at my email address, pastorsaintangelo@gmail.com. I got so many emails, I have to think which one it is. pastorsaintangelo@gmail, and I can get it to you if you can't get it through the regular ways. But I've gotten some good results from it. In fact, the book is dedicated to Mayor Freddie Drennan, because he was the door opener for all the things that have happened in Slidell to take place. So it's dedicated to him. One of the first questions I've been asked, well, if you don't live in Slidell, why would you be interested in it? Well, because it's a story of what God can do. Bobby Morales sent out a link to David Barton and some things that he had to say about what's going on. He talked about revival and some signs of revival. This is a book of signs of revival. I was told 7 or 8 years ago that we were having revival in Slidell, and we really are. I mean, and it's as current as 2 weeks ago, I think it was, the front page of the newspaper said that Slidell had a surplus of several million dollars, a couple of million dollars, and the other towns in are not experiencing that. And to the uninitiated, the one who hasn't read this book, they wouldn't understand. But when you read the book, you will understand all the things that are happening, that there is this resurgence of a revival taking place. You notice the hurricanes have just passed right by us? You know, we've just been so blessed from natural disasters and other things. The change of the economy of Slidell, which began in 2012, actually began in 2013. Mayor Drennan, if he was here, would tell you that what took place in Slidell is in direct relationship to all the prayers and all the other things that have taken place. So the book is here today for those of you who are in the house, where you can pick one up. And if not, go to the Christian bookstore by Copeland's, and if you prefer Amazon, you can go there. And if you can't get it there, contact me and I'll tell you how to get one. Okay? So I think that's all I have to say about that for the moment. All right? But it's been a real wonderful labor to get it done. I had to push the publishers to try to get it ready for the National Day of the Slidell Annual Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which is on the last Friday. And so the books came in on Thursday, which was just, I had my doubts as to whether or not they'd come in. And by the way, those of you who happen to see that event on Facebook or on YouTube, I know George saw it and he said it really blessed him and some others. You can still go to YouTube and see it, or you can go to Facebook under New Beginnings Church Facebook page. It's there. It's under New Beginnings Church YouTube account. You can find it there. Or you can look it up at my name either way, and you'll find it. It was really, really, really good program. And we had to do it COVID-free and people-free. So we usually have several hundred people in the auditorium, but we were down to about 15, maybe 20 people who were we broadcast it live from First Pentecostal Church. So anyway, that's that. We're going to have communion after we finish the message this morning. And also, we usually receive an offering because Jesus said when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. And so we, several years ago, started taking up a special offering. I said that wrong. We don't take up anything. We receive a special offering. So we're going to do it a little differently than we normally do. I'm going to have George, if you don't mind, putting the basket up on the little stand back there, put a little love offering sign in it. So anything you put in there will be earmarked for the fasting gift that you'd be giving. Okay? I want to get into today's message because it's something that has been really working on my mind really since 2020. And we all kind of hoped that 2021 would be some relief, and we've discovered that it's getting worse, not getting better. So just because a calendar flip doesn't mean that things are different. The one thing that I'm hearing more than anything else is, why is this still happening? We prayed and we don't see any results. In fact, it's gotten worse. And so I want to address the issue of prayer and how it fits into the overall aspect of what we're going through today. Jim, you know what I don't have? It's my little flipper. Somewhere along the line, I lost that. So we're going to go to a passage of Scripture that most of you have memorized. And it's what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. Jesus is the one who taught it. And I want to go through that and see if we can learn to teach us to pray properly. There's a right way to pray, and I think many of us have lost the ability to pray properly. We've been kind of not taught a whole lot about it. You don't hear a lot of whole sermons on teachings on prayer anymore. So that's what we're going to do. Thank you, George. Getting exercise this morning, running around the building. Okay. So let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So let's just pray for just a minute as we get started. Father, I recognize that as we go to this subject this morning, that it's one that's been abandoned in many ways, one that we tend to shy away from, and that's prayer for someone I'm losing. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to put into my mind the things that you once said. I know I've got some notes and some studies I've done, but if there's anything I haven't pre-prepared on that you want to speak, I open myself up to you, that you would speak through me. And if there's anything that I have written down that or thought about that you would prefer not to be said, I'll let that just disappear from the pages and let it not be part of our teaching this morning. So we humble ourselves before you. We rejoice in you and what you're doing. And we ask you to do, Lord Jesus, for us, what you did for your apostles and disciples so many years ago, and that is to teach us to pray. And this is our prayer in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Excuse me, let me get a little bit of water here. When you've earnestly prayed, I mean, when you've prayed and you've earnestly prayed, and your prayers have failed to produce your expected results, what should you do? And I'm telling you, we prayed earnestly about a lot of things for several months now here on Wednesday nights and at other times. The impossible became possible when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. In the Old Testament, there not many people prayed. The prophets did, a few select people did, but it wasn't something that people did in mass the way we would do it today. The New Testament opened up prayer for all believers. It said, if you're a believer, you've never, up to this time, you've not asked anything in my name, but now you can ask in my name. And prayer is a skill that is learned. It's something that we need to be taught. It's obvious the disciples saw Jesus pray quite frequently, as he did. And they finally just said, Lord, just teach us to pray. And the caveat, they said, like John's disciples taught. I don't know why that they said that, other than what John had the Baptizer had a big following at that time. We've discovered that COVID, the lockdown, the election results, the first 12 days of the Biden administration have produced countless disappointed Christians. I mean, countless thousands. I was looking at the video I mentioned earlier with David Barton, and he talked about this very thing. The thousands and tens of thousands of people were gathered in Washington, D.C., and in other capitals of states, in churches, and prayed and prayed and prayed about the election and about what's going on with COVID and the lockdowns and all of these things. And the results were not what we expected. COVID is still here. The lockdown is still in existence, worse in some states than others. We've learned this. Most of us knew this before. I'm from the government and I'm here to help is not the words you want to hear. We found out that the government is helpless. They cause more problems than they do good. That's the name of it. And many, and I know down here in the South, and we have a conservative red state mentality, certainly didn't want Joe Biden to get elected, wanted Donald Trump to get elected, and prayed and asked, and that didn't happen. Whether you like it, whether you think it was legal or illegal, whatever you think about it, Joe Biden is the only president of the United States of America today. He is our president. Whether you like him or hate him, whether you like what he does or don't like what he does, I decided to give the man a chance. I thought I'd give him, you know, a run and see how well he did. I don't think he lasted a day. And he started doing things that are just contrary to what I believe in, that I believe the scriptures teach, and that doesn't work for me, but that doesn't relieve me of the obligation to pray for him. So the most often repeated question is, why hasn't God answered our prayers?
Yes.
Come on, we pray. Where are you, God? What's going on here? Let's be open about this. One thing I like about David, a man after God's own heart, he just got up and said stuff that I would be afraid to say to God. You know, when things didn't go the way he expected it. And God would always wring his heart, David's heart, and David would end up saying, yeah, okay, now I get it. So that's why the Psalms are so good to read, because you learn so much about God and dealing with God. So today we're going to evaluate what we know about prayer and try to answer a couple of questions. Does God answer all of our prayers? The operative word there is all of our prayers. And did God answer all the prayers that were uttered in the Bible? And do we have unrealistic expectations about prayer? Yeah. Unrealistic expectations. And I'm going to answer those as we go through this morning. So we're going to see what Jesus had to say. Let's go back to, first of all, Jesus explained, Jesus' explanation about prayer. And this is where we started. Will you turn that siren off out there, please? One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. That was his mannerisms. He got to a certain place. He'd go off by himself. Sometimes he's with people. Many times he prayed solitarily on his own. So when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. That is a Greek word that I'm going to try to pronounce for you called prosexomai. I've got it phonetically spelled out here. So let me, it's prosexomai. That's as close as I'm going to get. Just as John taught his disciples. I thought it was interesting when I started just looking through this. How did that big old $10 word in Greek get mashed down to a little four-letter word in English? I don't have any explanation for that. But that's exactly what happened. The first thing we see about prayer is that Jesus prayed. So should we pray? Well, if Jesus needed to pray, what do you think, folks? You think that's something that we should do? The second thing you see about prayer is that the apostles, the early disciples, didn't understand how to pray. Now, my first thought about that is, well, they were with him every day. I mean, what were they doing? You know, they had their head in the clouds somewhere. How come they didn't get it? And I'm afraid that we're just like the disciples. We don't get it about prayer. We've been taught so many things through the years by well-meaning people that are just wrong. They haven't given us the whole picture. They haven't taken time to explain it. We've went through all kinds of stuff in my life. We've been through the name it and claim it prayer. If you name it and you say it, that's good enough. Claim it, it's done. I know I've told the story before, but a friend of mine, name was Gil. Gil wore glasses, looked like Coke bottles. He didn't have very good eyesight. And I saw him one day, and he didn't have his glasses on, because he looked different. And he told me that he had prayed and that God had healed his eyes and that he could see. And I thought, wow, huh? It's just a miracle. He turned around and walked right into a wall. I mean, just walked right into it. I said, Gil, can you see? He said, by faith I can see. I said, well, by faith, did you drive here? And he said, yeah. I said, don't leave this place with your glasses off. You're going to get killed. You know, that was part of the teaching then. You know, you got to, you know, you said it. You know, that's good. God did it. And but that's an erroneous teaching. There's another end of prayer is that, we just bring the big things to God because God's not interested in the little things. You know, if you got cancer, you might pray about that. The world peace, you can pray about that. COVID pandemics, you can pray about that. But, you know, all the little stuff, God's just not interested, so don't pray about that. Well, I've discovered, and the scriptures indicate, that we're supposed to pray about everything. Everything. So we need to be in an attitude of prayer. It says that we should pray without ceasing. That's to have an attitude of prayer. That whatever you're doing throughout your life, whether you're driving your car, whether you're eating at the table, or whatever you're doing, that you are aware, have a God consciousness, awareness that God is with you wherever you are and that you're interacting with him. I met a guy, I can't remember his name right now, but he was a big evangelist. He was a Mother Teresa of India.
Mark Bontang.
Mark Bontang, that's it. I met him. I had the privilege of meeting him. And his reputation far exceeded him and the work that he had done. And I got to sit across a table from him to eat a lunch. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was kind of starstruck, you know, meeting somebody really, really famous. And so I thought I'd start the conversation. And I said, where are you from? He said, India. Oh, okay. You know, where do I go from there? Well, in the course of the time that I spent with him, he had mercy on me. Sometimes I noticed that he was talking to me, and other times he was talking to somebody else. And he would mix in prayer to God in conversations with people. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, you know. But he had a mind that was set on God all the time. He was an amazing man and did an amazing work. So he had an understanding of prayer. And there have been some books that have been written. Many of you have read them, Smith's Wigglesworth, about prayer. The third thing about prayer is that Jesus was asked to teach them. So a good place to go to learn about prayer is to see what Jesus had to say. And there's no more definitive place than what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. So let's see if we can parse this out a little bit. Lord, teach us to pray. That's that Greek word. It's actually a combination of two words, the word P-R-O-S, pros, which it means literally, to toward, or to exchange. The other part of that, exomai, is to wish or pray. It literally means to exchange wishes, switching human wishes for God's wishes. All right? There's an exchange that takes place. Prayer is not a one-directional thing. It's a two-directional thing. We speak to God, and we literally ask Him, and we interact with Him, switching our human desires, wishes, for God's wishes. So, in the element of prayer, before we bust in with our Christmas list, or what we want, there needs to be some interaction. The only way you can pray effectively is to have an interaction with God so that you can hear Him as well as Him hearing you. Now, I've heard people tell me, well, I've never heard from God. Well, I think you need to rectify that. Everyone in this room, everyone listening to me, if you're a born-again believer, have the ability to hear from God. Jesus said that my sheep, and the believers are His sheep, will hear His voice. All right? So we can hear Him, and we'll see in just a few minutes as we go through this, that God hears our prayers, but there's a caveat to it. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but just hang on with that. There's a caveat to it that it's not us broadcasting to Him. There are conditions that have to be met when we pray. Now, us grace people don't like to hear about conditions, but there is. And I think part of what our prayer life is, what's wrong with it, is that we don't understand the conditions of prayer. The how-to of prayer. It's a how-to. So, there's kind of a cycle of initiation and response. We can initiate prayer with God, and God responds, or God might initiate the prayer, and we respond. Right? Sometimes He tells us what He wants us to do, and then we respond to that. Sometimes we speak to Him with our wishes about what we want to do, and then He responds to that. So, let's talk a little bit about unanswered prayers. I asked the question earlier, are all the prayers in the Bible answered? The answer to that is definitively no. They weren't answered. The request, the wish, the interaction from people in the Bible brought to God were not responded to by God in the way that they wanted it done. And here's some examples. There are many, but these are the ones that most of you know. David and his child from Bathsheba. David, I mean, you couldn't get a more earnest prayer. He was in sackcloth and ashes. He was laying on his face. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't respond to anyone. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and the baby died. Now, David didn't get up and say, well, how come God didn't answer my prayers? What he did is he got up, he dressed, he washed himself, and he asked for something to eat. And the people around him were amazed. They said, whoa, wait a minute. If he was so distressed before the child died, why is he okay now? And his response tells us a lot. He said that the child couldn't come to where he was, but that he could go to where the child was. There was something bigger at stake than the prayers of a man for his son or his child. It's the understanding that God is sovereign and is working in a bigger picture than what we see. We look very myopically. We look very binary. You know, binary decisions are yes or no. That's why in the computer business, it's a binary machine. Little bits are either yes, they're on, or no, they're off. That's it. Well, God doesn't work in that arena. God works in an arena that's bigger than our ability to ask or think about. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His plans are bigger than our plans. And that's what David understood. He said, there's more at work here than just a man praying for his son. There's a sovereign work of God. And David knew that he could go to where that child was. Now, how did David know that? There's only one way he could have found out. God had to reveal it to him. So part of our prayers need to be that we admit that we don't know when we ask God to reveal to us what we don't know. That's how David was able to get up and move on with his life. Another classic example of unanswered prayer, Paul. Paul petitioned God on three separate occasions about his thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. He identified, there's a lot of misconception about that. You've heard that, well, David had eye problems and he couldn't see. I don't know where that came from, other than the fact that he said one time, see how large I write because of his eyesight. That's the only reference I know. And when he had scales on his eyes after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, but those fell off of him, so it couldn't be that. But he said it was a messenger from Satan. He identified what it was. And God's response to his prayer was a flat no. Now, if Paul can't get something answered, and David can't get something answered, do you see a pattern here? Do you see it? These are not regular run-of-the-mill church people, if you will. I mean, these guys are icons who are talked about by God as being really, really great guys. So, and the response to David was this. He said that his strength, God's strength, was made manifest in him, and that is in his weakness that Paul would be strong. And sometimes in the weakness of things, coming to the realization that we are not in charge of the universe, we are not in charge of the kingdom, we can ask and move and live and have our being in the kingdom, but ultimately we have to come to the realization that God is in control of our lives and in control of the events that are taking place.
That's right.
And this has been a weakness in my prayer life because I picked up more of the demand prayers than I have the request prayers. And I know where I got it from. I got it from remembering names is killing me. Oral Roberts, all right? Because he prayed very strong, commanding prayers. And I've been exposed to some of his teachings. Had the privilege of meeting him once. And so I tend to command more prayers, you know, prayers of faith, you know, speak things as not as if they are. And it's made me weak in my prayers, but I didn't realize it, that I can ask and I can be specific about it, but ultimately the decision is in God's hands, all right? So in our weaknesses, in our not knowing, in suffering under the situation we're in today, in so many different areas that I've already enumerated, we need to come to the place where we trust God. That we will trust God no matter what. And probably the most unbelievable unanswered prayer was Jesus in the garden. I mean, there's a man who's praying. Don't forget he was 100% man. He prayed so much that sweat poured, blood came out of his sweat glands. I mean, that's serious prayer. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. What was the cup? What he was about to go through. That's what he knew. He said, let it pass. But he showed us the way we pray. Nevertheless, let thy will be done and not mine. If Jesus' prayer had been answered, you and I would still be in our sins. There'd be no redemption for us. The plan of redemption wouldn't work. So you can see the bigness of the sacrifice that Jesus made that made it possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born on the face of the earth could be redeemed. His sacrifice was that big. So we've got David, we've got Paul, we've got Jesus, who all got no answers. I mean, the answer, no. They got an answer, right? But it wasn't what they wanted. So what we're faced with is the fact that not everything we ask for is going to be given to us. That's just the reality of it. And we can fast and we can pray, but the reality is it's not always going to happen. Prayer requires us to tap into something else, and that is faith, where we trust God. This is how the church has survived for over 2,000 years. We are people of faith more than anything else. We trust God when everything is going south, when it's all going in the wrong direction, where we're not getting the answers we want, the answers we believe that we need, and it's not happening according to our plans. Remember I said earlier, do we have unexpected, unrealistic expectations? And the answer is yes, we do. We feel we can demand things to happen. The church has survived by being a people of faith. And when things didn't work out the way they expected them, they stayed with God. I've done this several times in my Christian walk, and I always tell God how much I appreciate Him, how much I trust Him, that no matter what happens, I'm on His side of the goal. I always believe and always trust in Him. I have great faith. And then I tell God, if you hear me say anything other than what I just said, I've lost my mind. You know, just take me out of here because I'm not any good to live on this earth any longer. Trust in the Lord. You know, we quote some scriptures so much that they become meaningless to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's something we do. We trust Him. They had a movie, Pat and I were watching, and it had a circus scene to it, and they had people, trapeze artists, doing things. You got to have trust in the people you're dealing with when you do that.
Yes.
When you're flying through the air, you got to trust the person on the other end is going to catch you. Especially when you do it without a net. You've got to have great trust in that individual. Well, magnify that raise to the power of infinity. We need to trust God that He's going to catch us no matter what's going on.
That's right.
Even if it doesn't look like we've been caught. I'm telling you, it doesn't look like we got caught when the election was over.
That's right.
And now I'm saying to God, what's going on here? What do you know that I don't know? What's going to unfold? What?
She said everything.
Everything. What's going to happen that's going to make me say next year or the year after or the year after, I'm so glad things worked out according to your plan and not mine. I can give lip service to it, but I got to tell you down deep inside, I'm saying, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? I mean, that's just the way that it looks to me from the outside. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's us. We need to trust in God and not in ourselves. If we want to have another 2,000 years of the church and functioning, we're going to do it by faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. Job said it best. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though he slay me. And boy, there was a guy who had some problems. In fact, I just wrote a newspaper article about it. And I've been amazed how many times Job is being brought up lately. Even this morning, heard it talking about Job. Job lost it all. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, and he lost his health. If anybody had a reason to gripe, he did. And while we're at the day of prayer, I was just surprised to hear Brother Brian, who was a keynote speaker, he had to stand in for Warren Montgomery, who got COVID, believe it or not, at the last minute. And he was talking about this very thing, that Job asked God a prayer, asked God a question, you know, why am I going through this? And then God spent over two chapters asking Job questions that Job couldn't answer. Where were you when I hung the stars in place? Where were you when I set the earth in motion? Where were you when the animals are taken care of? Where are you when the snow falls? Where are you when the rain? You know, and you can see Job just getting smashed down with every question. And finally Job said, I'm sorry, I opened my big mouth. That's the Morris translation. All right? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's the response of the church, of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your personal circumstances are or what they're not. When I first became a believer, and I had my expectations of what that was going to be. I mean, I was just amazed at being saved. And then when God called me into ministry, and I really didn't want to, the last thing I wanted to do is what I'm doing right here. I mean, I just didn't feel worthy to do it. I didn't want to do it. And finally, God convinced me to do it, convinced me to go back to school. I hated kindergarten. I hated grammar school. I detested high school. College was the craziest thing I've ever done. When I finally graduated with a degree, I promised myself I would never enter a classroom again. In fact, when I finished up at the University of Houston and I walked out of my final class, I knew I had passed the exam. I knew it was over. I had my books, my bookcase and everything. I threw them all up in the air and left them there. So far as I know, they're still there. I said, that's it, I'm out of here. And God wanted me to go to seminary. After 2 years of drudgery in a seminary, God finally let me out. And I had expectations of God rewarding me for all the diligence and the pain that he put me through. And I was expecting First Church of somewhere to call me. I sat right by the phone and watched it, waiting it for it to ring. Then some unknown voice to say, we were praying, and God gave us your name and phone number, and we're calling you and asking you to come be our pastor. Nobody called. They never did. They never have. The reason I started the church, because I wanted to pastor a church, and nobody would let me pastor their church, so I just started my own. So, at any rate, the point of all of that is God had a better plan. I've done more things outside the traditional church than I ever would have done inside a traditional church. The bigger churches get to be more managerial than they are anything else. You see these guys who pastor these big churches, they're not pastoring anything. They are managing. That's a big job to do. I don't want to do that. I've managed companies. I don't want to do that. So the point is that God's plan was better than my plan. I didn't realize it at the time. I look back with hindsight, and I see it's exactly what's good for me. Okay, move on. I didn't intend to finish this sermon today because I've got several series of it that we're going to go through. But I want to cover this next point. Jesus' determination about prayer. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Sounds like it just contradicted everything I just said. But I haven't. And this is the confidence, the assurance that we have towards God, that we would ask anything, what's that phrase? According to his will. So, what do we have to do? We have to know what God's will is. The problem is, there's no way for us always to know God's will. So now we come back to that other word I used before, trust and faith. Because we're not going to know. In fact, there is another place where it says, sometimes when we don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. That's one of the joys of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that He will pray for us because we don't always know how to pray. That's one of the reasons I believe God gave us the gift of tongues, so that we could pray in tongues, not using our understanding, but using our spirit, interacting on a spiritual level with God. God assures us that He hears us, but only if we ask according to His will. So how can we know the will of God? So that we can pray accordingly. Well, first thing you need to come to is the realization that you're not always going to know the will of God. Sometimes you will. Sometimes we do things contrary to the will of God. I'll tell you just a quick story. My business partner and I were praying. He was and is a phenomenal Christian man. And we had an opportunity to sell a portion of our business to another very successful businessman. And we both knew one thing about this guy that was a problem. He was not a believer. And we knew he wasn't a believer. But Wayne and I prayed so diligently, and the opportunity opened itself up that we thought, well, we must have misunderstood the scripture that says to not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. We knew that, and we went into a business deal with him. I won't go through the whole deal, but it was all said and done, and that fell apart in about a two-year period. He left us owing over $300,000 in debt. And Wayne and I looked at each other and said, maybe it wasn't God's will for us to get in this. Well, we learned a valuable lesson, but it's an expensive lesson to learn. But the guy by the, Bob Mumford talks about knowing God's will. And he used an illustration of harbor lights. If you know anything about shipping, if this is this aisle is getting us into a harbor down the other end, that they put lights up so we know how to get in, so we won't run into the chairs on either side, or the rocks, or the shallows, or whatever it is. And if you have all green lights, you know that that's a safe way into the harbor. If you see a red light, that means it's not a safe way, so you need to rethink your direction going into that harbor. He said the first green light is, what does the Word of God say? When we look at the Scriptures, what does it say? If you feel God's called you to rob the First National Bank, that's real easy. Go look in the Bible. It says, thou shalt not steal. That's easy. That's over with. All right? That's a good harbor light. So if the Bible gives us an okay to do something, we're moving in the right direction. Second thing is, what do the circumstances say? Since I don't have a right arm, if I believe that God told me that I was going to be a right-handed pitcher in the major leagues and to get ready to do it, that ain't going to happen. You know? Now, I know some of you people who face it. Well, God can grow you another arm. He'd have to grow me a whole new body for me to get to do that. The circumstances just aren't there to do it. And sometimes we want to do things, and the circumstances just aren't right. Maybe it's bad timing. Maybe you need to wait a while. Maybe God needs to work out some other things. So you look for the circumstances to be right. If the circumstances say it's okay, you can go ahead and do that, then you got to deal with the third circumstance, the third harbor light, and that is, what does God's Spirit say to you as an individual? That's back where I started off in the sermon. Knowing God and hearing His voice, and for Him to tell you yes or tell you no about a situation. Many years ago, I was in a church, and an evangelist came in who was an evangelist to the Philippine islands of the Philippines. And he was going on a crusade, and he said, if anybody would like to go, you know, I'd be glad to take you with me. And man, I just felt God say, go. And I'm not much of a trampler, but I felt God say, go. And so I mentioned it to Pat briefly, and I went out and talked to him. And he said, yeah. So I started doing all preparations to go. I got my passport. I got some medical stuff done. Got everything ready. Told him I was going to go. All the plans were made. I hadn't bought my airline tickets, but that was the only thing I had left to do. And the Holy Spirit told me, don't go. And I said, are you kidding me? You know what? All that I've done to go on this trip, you know, and this man's expecting me to go. And, you know, I rebuked that thought in the name of Jesus, you know, just kind of. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go. I don't want you to go. And I said, Lord, why would you make me go through all of this and not let me go? I really wanted to go. And he said, I just wanted to see if you'd go if I ask you. I said, well, I guess you got found that out. He said, yeah, you don't. I don't want you to go. And I didn't go. I had to call that man up and tell him I wasn't going. And he was not happy with me, I'll tell you. But I just knew that I wasn't supposed to go. The ability to hear from God will open ways for you and keep you from bumping your head someplace it doesn't need to be. You say, well, Morris, how do I learn to hear God's voice? Only one way you can learn to hear God's voice. Through the scriptures and in communion with God himself. And you need to ask him and have the dialogue. Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? You know, children don't learn how to run until they learn how to crawl. And sometimes spiritually, they learn how to crawl so we can learn how to run. You know, we don't have novices doing things in the kingdom because they get in trouble. You need to learn. You need to, you know, spend time learning to hear from God. It's a shame that Christians have been in the church for years and decades and have not had an honest dialogue with God where they can hear his voice. Will it be an audible voice? It can be. I've heard God audibly. But most of the times, it's an impression that God is speaking to you. One of the first things that I heard from God is I heard God call my name. That was me. That was my testimony. I heard God call my name. And I knew it was God speaking to me. So this is something that it's a learned skill, something we need to spend time doing. Prayer is not, Lord, thank you for our food. God bless this meal. Now I lay me down to sleep. Those are sometimes empty platitudes. Well, prayer is interacting with God. Now, in order to have our wishes and God's wishes coinciding so that we're on the same page, to use that kind of imagery for you, we need to ask God what he wants to do more than telling God what we want to do. Lord, what do you want done? And if it seems reasonable to you and it seems right, and I think the prayers that we uttered concerning COVID and lockdown and a presidential election and other things are reasonable things that we can bring to God. In fact, the scripture talks about, come, let us reason together so we can go to God on that level. And God can speak to us if we want to hear and say, Lord, what do you want? I got to tell you, my ears have been stopped up about the election. I didn't want to hear that Joe Biden was going to be president of the United States. I just knew the calamity that was going to follow that if it happened. And sure enough, we're living with the calamity, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. I can tell you that right now. It's not getting better. So what do? We pray, we trust, and we lean upon the will of God. Unanswered prayer, the prayer right here in this building, right in front of this pulpit, sitting in the chair, I was praying about the 2012 election when Obama was running for his second term. And Obama's, my biggest gripe with him was the abortion issue. That is a hurdle that I can't let anybody overrun. And that's what I was concerned about. And right here I was praying, And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me that Obama was elected for the second time. And I said, Lord, what about all the prayers we've been uttering? You know, what about all the things I've done, the petitions I've signed, the letters I wrote, all the work that I've done? And God spoke to me and said, you get busy in Slidell and don't worry about Washington, D.C. And I knew it was God speaking, and I knew that was right. And I said, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I have one question for you. What about the babies? And God spoke to me, and he said, I'll take care of the babies. It gave me a peace in my heart. Just do what I could do. That initiated me getting in touch with Councilman Bill Borshin, who got in touch with Mayor Freddie Drennan and started the annual Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, and all the other multiplicity of things that have spun out of that, the chaplaincy program with Dr. Preston, the unity between so many churches and ministers in our community, all the blessings that God has poured out happened right here in my life when God spoke to me and I knew it was God's voice speaking to me. So I didn't get that epiphany with this last election. I just had my feet dug in, and I just knew there was no way that Donald Trump could lose that election. Whether he lost it honestly or dishonestly, I don't know. God knows. But I know this for a fact. God's will was for Joe Biden to become president of the United States. Because that's the way it happened. And I know that countless tens of thousands of people fasted and prayed and interceded. And we all got the same answer. No. So we're going to see where that leads us. I'm trusting God and believing in God. I believe it's going to happen. So let's stop there. I have more to say, but I think that's enough to get you going in the right direction. Next time we're going to talk about the way that we pray, the proclamation of prayer to God our Father, Heavenly Father. You know, in your name we come, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we'll talk about that in some more detail. I hope this has helped you and not confused you. I hope it helps maybe reset in your mind some things about prayer that maybe we've forgotten. You know, sometimes you forget things. The old joke about the guy who, when he got married, the guy told his wife that he loved her. And 50 years later, he never said it again. And she asked him about it, you know. How come you never tell me that you love me anymore? He said, well, I told you once. If I change your mind, I'll let you know. Well, it's an old joke, but we've kind of gotten that way with God. You know, we're just not practicing our faith and our trust in God on an intimate one-on-one basis. And that's where we need to get. Okay? So that's what we're going to tackle next week. So we're going to sign off now. For those of you who are watching on Facebook and YouTube and all the various sundry media that we have out there, thank you for joining us. Invite you to come back next week and hear some more. Those of you who are listening on delayed broadcast and it's not Sunday morning, thank you for watching in. We appreciate it. We think about you and we pray for you. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah.